Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us. Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode. This is more of a breaking news podcast because obviously we only dropped a podcast, yesterday was it? So obviously we didn't expect the news that Dean Smith would be let go today. So we have raced round to get things together to get this podcast out. So please bear with us. I'm sorry that you might be listening to this straight after the one and thinking, what are they doing with another one coming out so soon? But yeah, I don't think anybody expected Smith to go so quickly after that. I mean, obviously we knew there was a international break, and but then a lot of the media, like Ashley Priest, said he'd probably be given the Brighton game, and he's not even been given weekdays. Do you know what I mean? He's literally gone over the weekend. So yeah, so this is basically a podcast that's going to be based all around Dean Smith, you know, from his beginnings to his end, and just our thoughts and feelings across everything from his signings to who's next, to what's next for Smith, possibly positive, negative behind him. Try and cover all aspects. But like I say, we are throwing this together because it come out. Well, we knew it weren't coming out of the blue because we knew five losses in the bounce probably did end. Feel like it was the end for him. But yeah, just feel like it's come quite quick. So obviously I'm back with Callum again. Gary's still AWOL, as I said, but now he's back, I believe, this week with us. But I am back with Callum again. It's a pleasure as always to be with him. But we're going to start looking at the very beginning. So obviously, Suarez and Eden come in. Bruce was obviously let go. And then there was a lot of talk between the main two candidates was Dean Smith of Brentford, obviously, and Thierry Henry. I mean, which way was you leaning towards when you heard the news that those two was number one and number two target?
I mean, at the time, I think Henry had just had a terrible time with, was it Montreal Impact, or was it when he was at Monaco?
Yeah, I think it was Monaco.
Yes. At the time, he didn't have a coaching kind of career at that point, while Smith had, you know, going on to 400 matches with Warsaw and Brentford. So, you know, if you were going off, you know, off the stats and off what he'd done in the English game, you know, Smith had got the backing. Obviously, it was obviously going to be bittersweet it was going to be sweeter because he was a Villa fan. I think as soon as that was found out, everyone was like, all right, let's get Smith in now, because it's the perfect man. If he knows the club from, you know, a fan's perspective, family perspective, then it's the perfect man to go forward. And, you know, I think we did get that right, and we got the right man in. And, you know, he's taken us. I mean, some people will say he's not taken us far enough, but I think he's taken us quite far in his, you know, just before 3 years in charge, is it? It will be 3 years in charge. So, you know, he's had to deal with so many things. And, you know, this season's obviously been tough. Like we said in the podcast the other day, due to injuries and, you know, COVID and internationals. So, yeah, we kind of were half expecting it. You know, five losses in a row does not help the situation. But like you said, there was rumours that he might get the Brighton game, but they've decided to pull the plug, and, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere, really. I didn't expect it today. And obviously him and Shakespeare have gone. It looks like they're trying to make it a quick turnaround and get someone in the door before, you know, players, you know, go away from international and things like that, and be like, well, who is it going to be, you know? Then there's loads of rumours going around which manager is going to be coming in next. And it's a crucial time for Perslow and for the owners, because they definitely need to make it right to take us to the next step. Like, you know, Dean, thank you for all the memories, and thank you for getting us where we are. But it is probably time to go forward and try and get to our next step. Like, Smith has got us to third gear. We now need to go and get fourth, fifth, sixth gear.
I mean, when Bruce went, Smith was my ideal candidate from day one. As I said, that I live in the heart of the Midlands. I live in Dudley. I live in Dudley, so I don't live that far. I don't live that far from Walsall. So obviously, there was a lot of noise and stuff in the local media about Dean Smith at Walsall, with how well he was doing. So I knew of him obviously early doors because of where I live, basically. And then he did really well, went to Brentford, and then you saw what was happening. And he was like, God, this team are like, you know, selling their best player every season, and I'm still pushing on, finding more gems. Who is this guy? Turns out it was obviously Dino, obviously with the director of football and how they set up as a club, and like kind of had a bit of a soft spot for Brentford because there was always the underdog, no matter what league they was in. And Dino obviously, you know, built a big philosophy there. So when we was linked, I was absolutely buzzing and begging it was him. And to me, Henry felt like a Perslow, what he wanted really, because he was a name in the game. And if you read some of the backstories on Perslow, which has come out recently again in the papers about his time at Liverpool, about, you know, always making a beeline when he was at Liverpool for, you know, Torres and Gerrard and not really caring for anybody else because he liked to be in and around the big names, kind of now looking back felt like Henry would have been his appointment more so than a a footballing reason, shall we say. So I was absolutely buzzing, and when we got him I went, right, this is the right man, this is exactly what we need. He's going to steady the ship. He's a Villa fan, which obviously always adds credit in the bank as soon as you come in, if that's what it is. And I did find a quote earlier, what he said when he took over. This was literally days before he took the Villa job, and it come up on Twitter again today, and I'm going to read it for you. And it says, I wish you all the luck in the world, but why do you want a job that's renowned for finishing managerial careers? Nobody ever goes on to anything better after leaving Villa. And he replied, that's because there's nothing better than managing Aston Villa. And like, it, that just kind of shows you what it meant to him to be the Villa manager. It wasn't, okay, they're paid really well. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and say that he did the job for free, because he didn't, obviously not. He got paid good money, millions, you know. But, it, you know, there's another element to that, and that was his whole family is born and bred Aston Villa, and they live in the area, great bar. You know, his dad was a steward, his brother's home and away fan. Season ticket holder. It's literally, you know, he grew up in the Holt End. He, like I said, on every podcast that we've done for the last 2-3 weeks, that he has grown up doing, you know, our dream job as a Villa fan, either being a player or a manager. And I'm really sad to see him go. I am, like, you know, we've lost other managers and genuinely I've not really cared about it, but this one kind of hurts. I know he's not related, but it's just, I feel sorry for him because, as you said on the intro, there's been a lot of injuries. There's been COVID. He's lost Grealish, which left a hangover at the club because no one expected him to go. And it's just been, he's had a lot of bad luck. And obviously, you know, even on top of all that, he had his first team coach in Terry going, his right-hand man in Kelly going. He's had a lot to deal with. And obviously, even still during all that, he lost his dad to COVID, which I'm not going to say his plays, you know, affects results, but he still was, you know, he did all that being a Villa manager, you know. So I feel sorry for him, I do, but, you know, it is where it is, unfortunately. It is a football, you know, football is a harsh business and it's cutthroat, and, you know, he's lost his job through bad results, you know. And I think players and Lang and Perso have themselves to look at just as much as Smith does, you know, because I think the recruitment was poor. I've said that on Twitter and I got absolutely hounded saying we've signed this, that and the other. And as I said on the review just we've just done, that this team kind of has the same sort of feel as the 2015-16 season with all these European playing players coming in and just not clicking and working. And they've all gone on, most of them, to do better things like Virtue and that. But But there we are. Sadly, he has gone. But nonetheless, we're going to have a look into some of his positives and negatives and milestones. So, I mean, when he took over, what was 13th in the league? It looked like, you know, we was going down under Bruce. Didn't look like it was going to be. It looks like it was going to be a really bad, bad situation, possibly even relegation battle in the championship. But for me, I mean, there's been quite a few milestones. I mean, I know a fair few, but is there any that stick out for you, you know, in that first? If we say like all the way up until obviously we got promoted, so you've got, you know, the 10 games in a row winning streak, which was phenomenal. We've got the, obviously, the playoff final. You know, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, because we looked, I didn't expect those kind of milestones so quickly.
No, well, I was at his first game as Villa manager against Swansea at home. And it was a quite convincing performance at the time. And, it, you know, to say that he walked in the door, you know, enough the same week to pull that game, the result around, and the performance was, you know, was encouraging. We went on, you know, a 7-game unbeaten streak then, which took us into mid-December. So, you know, he was turning the tide. And then we had a pretty poor January and February. And then people were, you know, questioning, oh, have we done the right decision? And then he goes and, gets his captain back, goes 10 wins in a row, 12 games unbeaten, which takes us to the end of the season. And, you know, that's history in itself. And he's created that with the team that he had. Out of all of Villa history, you know, he can be the one that says, I've got the best winning record. Yes, it may be in the Championship, but, you know, it's still history at the end of the day. And that run got us into the playoffs. And if it wasn't for Smith, I don't think we would have got into the playoffs. And we narrowly just get through to the playoff final on penalties. And you have to say the recruitment for that season was superb. I know half of it is due to Bruce, but, you know, Smith finished the job, kind of like Di Matteo with Chelsea when they won the Champions League. You know, being there at Wembley against Derby, definitely a standout performance. One of the only few times I've seen Villa win at Wembley. And, you know, we all knew it was going to be tough after that with the squad that we had and, you know, the players that left and things like that. And the main focus for the next season was to survive. And, you know, by a fingernail, we did, or, you know, thanks to VAR or whatever, we stayed up. And, you know, Smith done his job yet again. And, you know, we go back to some of the highlights. You know, the 4-2 against Blues has got to be a massive highlight. You know, there's some brilliant performances in the Championship, and then when you move into the Premier League, you've got the five. Well, no, I was gonna say 5-0 against Liverpool, but that was against their kids. So you got the 7-2 against Liverpool. You got the first win against Everton in the league. You know, there was a time at the end of the first season in the Prem where we'd gone 10 games without a win. You know, but that's because it was probably the latter stages of the league, and they weren't going to get someone in at that time. You got the Arsenal wins, you know, beating Baggies, you know, the Carabao Cup's final. No one thought we'd give Man City a game, and, you know, we could have gone into extra time right at the death if it wasn't for Bjorn Engels, his header being saved. So, you know, he won, I think, in 3 seasons in a row. He got playoff winners, Carabao Cup runners-up and stayed up, and then took us to an 11th place finish, which we all probably think we should have been a bit higher up. But, you know, you'd have taken that considering we just stayed up the season before. And, you know, things haven't gone quite to plan this season, like we've said before. And we've said, you know, it's the perfect time for them to bring in someone new because it's an international break. And they obviously feel that we need a fresh up, even with the, you know, things against us this season. So, yeah, I've not got a bad thing to say about Smith, you know, on a personal level. Obviously, tactics, we'll talk in a minute about, you know, some of his bad decisions, or, you know, not positive ways, shall we say. So, he will leave Villa Park with a lot of people, you know, thanking him for what he's done. And I've seen that on Twitter. I don't think I know people have said, oh, this needs to be done and blah, blah, blah. But yes, in a way, I mean, now it's done. I think more people have come to the conclusion that it had to be done. But a lot of people have also respected Dean Smith and, you know, will hold him highly at Villa Park. And, you know, he's definitely one of the best managers we've had in a while.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, like, he will be highly respected, and I would love to see him come back in the future. And so I'm not going to sit here and say he'll be the next head coach in, you know, 3-4 years. I'm not saying that. You know, if he can come back in some capacity, I'd always have him back, because he's, you know, as everyone said, he's a nice guy. He's, you know, a good coach. You know, we've got people like Grealish coming out saying that he's the greatest of all time manager. We're saying that, then he left him to go play for Pep. But, you know, not holding a grudge there at all. And probably arguably the reason why he's got the sack was him going. But that's because that's part of the negative. Before we go to that side, just a few more positive. You know, like you said, is, you know, the 7-2 for Liverpool always stand probably in my last, I don't even know how long, the best resulting game I've seen as a Villa fan in the Premier League. I can't think of one better than that before that. That meant so much more than the Liverpool 7-2. Outside obviously the derbies, I mean, we had the League Cup final, you know, stability in the Premier League, the relegation, you know, scrape obviously was through you know, a goal that should have been but wasn't, but hey ho, we still had to make the points up on Bournemouth, and we did that, which he did, you know, and taking us from 14th in the Championship to a promotion to a League Cup final to 11th place in the Premier League within such a short period of time is absolutely outstanding. And I get that Wim kind to move on. And as you said that, you know, every player out there at the moment has been tweeted in, Instagramming or whatever they use, you know, saying how much they're hurt by Smith going. So, you know, again, that could play in part of the next appointment, has to be spot on. Otherwise, this could genuinely get worse, because it felt like the players, no matter how bad or good the performances were playing for Smith, because every single one of them has come out and said, you know, they're gutted to see him go. And on the back of that, obviously, with some of the negatives and some of the things I just want to point out that maybe for me was some of his downfalls. Like you said, tactically, sometimes he could get it wrong. You know, in a way, I suppose, even though he's done quite a lot of games and he's done how many in the Premier League and all that, I still thought that he was still kind of learning his trade in a weird way. Because he was still, we lost a lot of players. Like I say, we lost 10 players. He had to replace 10 players, and he was learning his best team. We've had a lot of injuries this season. We had COVID last year that affected, you know, the players he could pick. International hasn't helped. You know, we like Martinez, Luiz, Bailey not, you know, going out on international as well. But for me, I think the start, I mean, I don't know for you, but for me, I think this start of downfall was the Wolves game. I think losing that game that's what's caused this, I wouldn't say rot, but this like bad run. I mean, obviously we lost the games before the Wolves game, but I think losing how we lost that game in the final 10 minutes, I think that's what's caused him to lose his job, because we've just never looked the same since. I don't know about you, but for me, that's what the start was.
Yeah, I mean, what you say about him always learning, I think he always was going to, you know, he's come from a Brentford side who were happy to, you know, be, you know, either just coming into the top half of the table of the Championship or trying to challenge for the playoffs, a selling club, and then coming to, you know, Villa, who expected results straight away.
Yeah.
You know, he hadn't been to the Premier League before, so he was always going to learn. But I mean, listen, when you look at the game plan, the progress plan that they set out for him, he's ticked three boxes in a way, really.
Yeah,
he's got us promoted, he kept us up, and at the same time taken us to a runners-up medal in the League Cup, and then he kept us 11th. And, you know, yes, we haven't stepped on this season for reasons that we've said too much about, But, you know, three out, I think they would be happy overall about how far we have come in a short space amount of time. The amount of turnover in players has been outstanding. You know, we lost, what was it, 13 players when we went up and went to a squad size of 9. So, you know, it was always going to be, with it being so quick turnaround, it was always going to be kind of a panic stations at some point. Which has led to some panic buying. You know, you look at some of the players like Wesley, Samatta, Borja Baston not paying off in the striking area. Those are the few names I can roll off the tongue. But also tactically, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the problem with Smith is he had one way of playing.
Yeah.
And if that one way of playing wasn't working, we didn't have a plan B. Now it wouldn't be so bad when Grealish was here because he could have been the glue that, you know, sticks the team together. But, you know, since he's gone, it was always going to go downhill slightly because you've lost your best player. You know, we've gone from a 4-back to a 3 to a 5. You're going around all those formations. We've not had the consistency this year, and yes, that's down to players and also down to selection, but, you know, I think he's been finally caught out. And luckily, you know, we haven't done a Sheffield United or a West Brom and bouncing back and forth, or, you know, a Sheffield United when second season syndrome. But, you know, the main thing is to survive in the Premier League, and they feel that they can get someone in better to do a better job and, you know, to keep us up, if not to keep us mid-table. So, you know, it's a cruel business sometimes, football, but, you know, sometimes, you know, football moves too quickly now, nowadays. I know Carragher was talking about, you know, 10 years ago, you would have probably been given a few more games, you know, probably given 10 games. But now, how ruthless the Premier League is, how, you know, costly going down is, we know how costly it is. So, you know, they've decided to make a decision. I'd like to see if Perslow will do a video like they did for Grealish. He deserves one, I think. But, you know, we now move on and we go forward to who's next.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've pretty much said most of the things I was going to say about the negatives. Like, there was no plan B. You know, as I said many times, we've never replaced Jack, and formation's just been a bit weird with, like, the round peg square hole kind of scenario, and, you know, playing target at wing back when he's, you know, he's not even been really a good full back, let alone a wing back.
At least it's not like the days where we had Jedinak and James Bree at centre half.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. But I do think, I think one thing that he's never had, and I don't know if this is just down to him as a, you know, a coach.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
I think you were going to say that he's never had an assistant manager.
No, to be fair. No, I was going to talk about a player. But to be fair, like, no, he's never really... But he's always had, like, O'Kelly by his side.
O'Kelly was a coach, yes. And John Terry was a coach, even though he claimed to be an assistant.
Yeah.
He's never had a proper assistant manager.
I would have liked to see him have, like... When we had that massive shuffle and O'Kelly left, Terry went, I genuinely thought, like, he was going to bring in, like, there was talk of, like, Martin Larsson, you know, trying to get his coaching badges and whatever and trying to work his way. I thought, that makes sense. Or, like, I always thought, like, he'll get, like, an experienced one. And obviously, he got Shakespeare in. And when you saw what he did at Leicester, I'm sure he was at England as well. He was like, okay, fair enough. That's fair. But like you say, he's not really an assistant manager, but I don't know. I kind of took Shaky as an assistant. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, same. Yeah.
And that kind of like changed things around. But, and then obviously he brought in the set piece coach, and he brought in, is it Dans as well? The guy from England under 21 or something like that. And then for some reason, just the staffing just hasn't worked as much as losing Grealish. Like that, like literally the attacking, like we can easily go a full half with no shots on goal. We can have a defence that looks absolutely shocking and abysmal to the point where we're trying to play three at the back and we look even worse than we two. And then the midfield, well, what can I say? I've said it's a bottom eight, bottom six midfield. You know, just literally it's terrible all over the pitch. But what I was going to say was that he's never signed is a proper defensive midfielder. Like, he's just not had one. Okay, we've had Nakamba, right? Fair enough, Nakamba. He's just not a defense. Like, I don't know what they've seen that. Like, he's never had a proper, you know, a brick shit house defensive midfielder, closed games. Like I said, we had Jedinak, we had Whelan, both Bruce signings. But then he kind of went for Luiz and Nakamba. And Nakamba isn't a Premier League footballer before I even start. And Luiz, everyone's been screaming out for him to be pushed more forward, you know, and to be not really that anchor in midfielder and try and play more forward. It just feels like, even in the summer, I said all summer long that we desperately need somebody that can just sit deep, spray the ball about, put a little tackle in. Obviously, there was talk about Ward-Prowse. There was talk about Saar.
Well, I think, you know, not to blow my own trumpet, but I did say, you know, we should bring in Axel Witsel. Dortmund were willing to accept offers of £5 million, which seems like a steal for a, you know, a Belgian veteran. And he'd have years in the tank as well, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. And it just feels like that... It's still lacking, in my opinion. And whoever the new manager is,
just get me in as manager. You know, I've played loads of Football Manager. It can't be much different.
I've heard it's the same thing. It's what I've heard.
Is it? So if I get a bad result, I can go and leave and then come back in?
Yes, possibly. That might be what's happening. Maybe we'll get, like, you know, somebody like, maybe it'll be like Dean Smith with like two S's or something. And it's just, oh, he looks the same, but you know. But no, like, what hasn't obviously helped him is obviously the amount of money spent as well. You know, we spent, what, over 300 million. Obviously, it's 200 million net before, you know, somebody says after the Grealish sale. But, yeah, and obviously that brings me on to Grealish, that him going has just left a massive hangover on the club. We've never replaced him. But that can't just fall onto Smith, who, let's not forget, he is the manager, but he's the head coach. And obviously, one of the big differences between a head coach and a manager is down to signings. Like, there's always a guy above him helping with the signings. And I know people slate Suso with that first season where we signed, you know, the likes of Samatta and Baston and Wesley and names go on, Engels. But, and then Lang comes in, you're like, okay, fair enough. He's got Watkins in, he's got this lad, that lad, but not recruiting a midfielder this summer just feels like to have hindered Smith. And yeah, maybe, you know, he should have had a, if he did say, you know, we need a midfielder, and he wasn't listened to, because by all accounts, Suso overrid him on all his signings. Webster, Maupay, Benrahma, Bowen was all turned away and went for Trezeguet, El Ghazi, Wesley, Engels. So, you know, it's a sad state, to be fair, but it is what it is. I have made, talking about signings, I made a big list of all his signings, and there's quite a few, to be fair. And to be fair, like, as I've just said, I don't want to slate him too much. There is some donkeys in this list, and it's obviously been between Suso, Lang, have been directors of football who have had a big say on these signings. So, as we normally do with our player ratings, and when we do a review, we're going to do the same, but on Smith signings. So, I believe these are in order of signings, but, you know, quote me if I'm wrong, but this is the way I've done them. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so, Kalinic, 5.4 million from KIA Ghent. Out of 10, what do you give him?
One. Next.
I'll go for one as well. Such a shame. Do you know what? Because if you remember right, Remy Gard tried to sign him when he was Villa manager in the January, and he got turned down for a work permit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite interesting. Gilbert, 4.3 million.
Well, I would like to give him quite a lot, but considering that Smith keeps on loading him out is a bit of a pain. I've always liked him when he was here. He's not played that much football, so I'll give him a five.
Yeah, I'll give him a five as well. Like, it's mad to think that there's no recognised second right back. Kessler's gone out on loan and Gilbert went on loan. And then, like, if Cash goes, I've said this many times, quote myself, Cons are our best centre-half, gets pushed out to right-back. So that's a bit of a strange one. Feels like an O'Neill move, that does, with the old Rio Coca and Gardner at right-back, but there you are. Mings, obviously, was a loan that turned into a permanent for £21 million. So, Tyrone.
Is this on performance or for everything?
Everything. We'll just go on his time at Villat from, you know, his loan to permanent.
This might be quite controversial, but I'm going to give him a 10.
Oof, okay.
I think he's a centre defensive midfielder. No, he's a centre back that we've missed so much over the years. You know, I think if you go back to the last defender that you'd say, oh, you'd bet your house on him to header it out, or you'd bet your house on him to, you know, put in a stupidly good tackle, would probably be Ron Vlaar. And then before that, you're looking at what? Larsson Melberg? So yeah. The influence that he's brought into the club, and he's grown with the club as well, you know. He had hardly any experience in the Premier League. If it was at left back with Bournemouth. Yeah. You know, he was he's the kingpin of the defence, and he will be for some time. England international, well, multiple England international now. And he's probably worth, you know, double the amount we signed him for. So for all round, for performance, and for his influence behind the scenes and on the pitch, you know, 10.
Yeah, I'll give him a 9. All those reasons. If we didn't, I'm going to be quite not controversial as much as, well, I wouldn't even say it was controversial, but I will say a lot of praise goes on Tammy for getting us up. Mings is a huge... If we didn't sign Mings, we would not have come up that season because he was so good on that loan. We was begging for him to sign on a permanent deal, no matter how much it cost.
And also like, the ten also for the, you know, his picture at Bournemouth train station.
Yes, that's obviously a big because he turned up. Apparently, he went back in a Villa shirt, didn't he? But yeah, like I say, he was when we signed him on loan. It was between us and Albion, so we turned Albion down to come to us. He was a left back, as you said, and also up until that point, Micah Richards had played more than he had in 3-4 seasons. Like in first team, that's how much he was injured and how much he was out. And look what he turned into, like you said, an England centre half, capped by England as well. Easily, I'd say, even treble what we pay now. Because if Maguire's going for what, 80 million, 21 million, you're going to get 60 all day long for a big Tyrone. Courtney House, £3 million from Wolves.
It was a good piece of business for the money, for the player that we've got. You know, if we look back at it on it now, you know, Wolves were in the Premier League at the time. I think that's why we got him on quite a bit of a cheap deal. I'll give him a 6 because he's not the best defender in the world and he's not the worst. It's still a bit dodgy on the ball, but, you know, he's been a match winner against Manchester United at their place. So, you know, he's not mad.
Yeah, I'll give him a 6 as well. I think he's been a bit hit and miss, you know, but that's obviously down to not being picked. Or
I was going
to
say, whatever. I think he was quite happy to be a squad rotational player.
Yeah, well. Yeah, exactly. And every team needs him, and he's not a bad one. Yeah, and like I say, he's had Engels over the years, Cons and Mings, Twanzabe in front of him. So, you know, he's not done too bad. And he like when he gets called up, he is reliable to an extent, but still, for £3 million, you can't rebuy much now. You can't even get championship players for 3 million. So, yeah, I'll give him a 6. Tom Carroll for a loan from Swansea.
Jesus Christ, that's a player I've forgotten. Can we give minus points? 0.
Zero. Yeah, 0. I was, but like, it was mad to think that we was all buzzing for. I can't think of the name that we thought we was going to get. Oh, and I know he's Dutch and he's centre midfielder. Name leaves me. But we was going to get, by the sound, we was going to get him. Then all of a sudden, we end up with Tom Carroll. I can't think of his name. It's going to hurt my head. And then all of a sudden, it was him instead, got injured. And yeah, next. Wesley, £22 million from Club Bruges.
First of all, he was unlucky with his injury, which he was coming into quite a good form at that point. He was brought in because it was a must, centre forward. The money that we paid is not shown in his quality. So, you know, Club Bruges have done well there with the money that they got in. I'll give him a 4 because he did have some decent performances.
Leroy Fer, that's who it was.
Oh,
I had to cheat, I had to Google. That's who we were supposed to be getting, then we got Carroll. Sorry, it was just, you know, it was just something just on the back of your head nagging. It was one of them. Wesley, I'm going to give a 3. Dreadful. Never rated. Tried to give him much time because he came in the same time as the chap at Newcastle.
Joe Linton.
Yeah, Joe Linton. And I'm sure, was it Everton signed somebody as well? That was big money.
Richarlison.
Oh, no, it wasn't. He was West Ham and he went back to Holland, I believe.
Haller.
Yeah, it was Haller, Wesley and Joe Linton. And I thought, like, okay, we might have one of the best. I thought Joe Linton would smash it, to be fair. And then, like, yeah, all three was absolutely abysmal. So three terrible, just, and never looked the same. And then that whole last game friendly where he got red carded. Yeah, that's the end. 22 million, what a waste. Douglas Luiz, 15 million.
Oh, I thought you'd missed someone.
We'll see. There's quite a lot, mate. There's quite a lot.
Luiz, I'll give a 7. I think we've been able to keep him with that buyback that clause that's now expired, which is good for us. When he can play, he's a very good player. We don't know if his best position is a 6 or an 8. He can play a pass, he can have a shot. But is the consistency there? No. But he's still got a lot of time in football to play. So, 7.
Yeah, I'll give him a 7. He didn't look, he started looking his best this year. I'd probably say for Jack. Well, yeah, pretty much this season rather. They starting to look more vital than he's ever has done. But yeah, 7, still young, still got time and a Brazilian international. So, you know, not done too bad. Matty Target, 14 million.
This is a player that I was, you know, quite closely, you know, not looking at, or, you know, I was quite in and around the rumours because, you know, I'm where I live and a lot of friends and, you know, colleagues are Forest fans. So they knew how good he was and, you know, they knew that he'd go up and, you know, he'd perform as he has. So 14 million is not bad. It's probably a bit too much, a bit more than I expected, but you know, he's definitely worth it now, and you know, I'll give him an 8.
Yeah. Did you say cash, or do you think were you talking about Target? Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah, no, it's Target, because you said Forest.
Yeah. Oh, I heard Matty and was like, oh, it's cash.
No, Target, matey, Target.
Target, 7, because he's dipped a bit recently. But he's put that on himself, so fair play to him. You know, he wasn't really rated at Southampton. They had Ryan Bertrand in at the time. He was looking for first-team football. And he's got it. Last season was great. This season, so Matt Target 7, and I'll do cash as well. There you go. So, and 8.
Yeah, okay. I'll do. Well, we'll skip the timeline a little bit. Then we'll get to cash.
Do the matties.
Cash, yeah, I'll give an 8. Starting to looking to show his worth. Obviously, I wanted Max Aaron, and I know Gary did too. Got cash. I was a bit like, okay, we'll see what happens. But yeah, he's proper. Come on. Leaps and bounds and looking one of the very few good performers this season. So I went 8 for him. Matty Target, I'm going to give him a 6. I thought he was poor his first season, phenomenal last season, and looking poor again this year. I know he's trying to learn his trade without Jack in front of him, which is a big drop for anybody, any, you know, player with a world-class player in front of him going. But yeah, he's not kicking on at all at the minute. And, you know, the way he's going, you could probably see him leaving if the new guy comes in and thinks, you know, next, we'll get someone else. Ezri Konsa, 12 million from Brentford.
A player that he signed twice.
Yes.
And, you know, for money value-wise, quality. And, you know, he's on the cusp of an England call-up. He should really have been called up by now. He's probably worth double the amount that we bought him for, if not, you know, triple. He's, you know, a lot of people say he's better than Ty. I'm not one of those people right now, but he definitely has, you know, a great person next to him, sort of someone to learn off. He's had a good time, and yeah, it's been. I'll give him a 7.
Yeah, I'll give him an 8. Rolls Royce, I think, is our best centre back, and 12 million from Brentford looks an absolute, you know, lot of steal nowadays. Nakamba for 11 million, 1 million less than the old Konsa from Club Bruges.
Yeah, him and Wesley comes together from...
And Engels.
Yeah, and you know, and Samatta from Belgium. We love a Belgian. Or love to get someone from a Belgian club. We all just think the Bentekes, that's why. Four next.
I'll give him a two. He's just dreadful. He's absolutely terrible. And when you think Dean Smith wanted Calvin Phillips and Suso wanted Nakamba, that's all I'm going to say. That's literally all I need to say. Trezeguet, 9 million.
Again, someone who's been unlucky with injury. You know, he's a decent player. He's been quite good for his country when called upon. You know, he's come up with crucial goals, you know, goal against Arsenal, goal against Leicester in the Cup. So, seven.
Five is just, it's okay. That's what I can say. He can come good when now and again, but yeah, I just don't think he's been worth, you know, that much of a shout, really. Again, we wanted Benrahma. Smith wanted Benrahma. And Smith wanted Benrahma and Suso wanted Trezeguet. We went with what Suso wanted, and it just feels like just an absolute waste. But yeah, he's a good guy and everything. You know, I mean, he does try, but yeah, he's a bit too floppish for me. Tommy in for 8 million.
Another player, well, which he was unfortunate by injury. You know, he was coming into a good spell again. Gets injured and then he's somehow gone off to United. So, fair play to him. I'll give him a five, middle of the road.
I'll give him a six. I think if we could have kept him fit for that season, I don't think we'd have been even near the bottom three. I thought he was absolute one of the best shot stoppers in the league. And I was good to see him get injured, but I loved just seeing him in claret and blue just a handful of times, sadly. Engels, 7.2.
I might just give him a zero just because of what he did against Spurs, to be honest. two.
Yeah, same. Just didn't work at all. Jota, he says 4 million, but I know he was kind of like a player exchange with Gardner, but whichever, 4 million or exchange, however you want to put it, but Jota from Blues.
I was going
to
say, I'm pretty sure it was an exchange as well. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't going to be there long term. We kind of knew that. For him to say he was a winger is a bit of a, you know, question mark because, you know, he didn't have any pure pace or raw pace. But the only thing I can remember from him is the assist for Wesley's goal against Everton. He could play a good pass and that was all about it. So I'll give him a three and, you know, one of the few players that Villa have got from Blues.
Yeah, I'll give him a three. If he had legs, he would be sublime because that preseason he looked like he looked unreal. He was like, "What have we got here?" But no, sadly, didn't work. He had no legs, and obviously, final thing in his coffin was having a massive bust up with drink water. So yeah, I felt sorry for him, but yeah, sadly, just didn't work. El Ghazi, 8 million.
Well, it's one of the players who single-handedly took us to the Premier League. So, but then again, you know, he's come out of the side this season. We were supposedly bought in better. He can go missing, another player that can go missing, but on his day, you wouldn't want to play against him. You know, you think of the West Brom game. You think of the final and a few other games. So, six, seven, we'll go with that, six.
I'll give him a six. Made sense to sign him, so he helped us get us up. But yeah, he is literally one in a 10 player. Every 10th game, he's one of the best players on the pitch. And then for the other nine, he's invisible. Samatta, 8.5.
Waste of money. Only did one good thing, and that was to score a goal against Man City in the Carabao Cup final, and that's all he did, you know. Yeah. By the summer he was gone. Quite luckily we got some money for him, so that's not too bad. So I'll give him a one for the amount of goals that he scored for the club.
I'll give him a one. I did feel sorry for him that, you know, we stepped into a new league and COVID hit and he pretty much was like, you know, sent packing pretty much after Project Restart. He didn't really get going, but then again, he didn't really have much time to. So I did feel sorry for him because, like I say, a lot of players have been given more time than him and shouldn't have done. So I quite felt sorry for him, but one. Baston, free transfer from Swansea.
-1 next.
Yeah, 0. What can you say? Jesus Christ. Just one of the worst signings ever. Pepe Reina, loan deal from AC.
You know, for his dancing and for his singing at West Ham, deserves some extra points. He did have a bit of character and he had a bit of, you know, passion to his game. But he did also have, you know, stupid moments. Was it Southampton?
Yeah.
And there was another one, Leicester, was it?
I think it was.
Where he just decides to not be a keeper anymore. And, you know, he's just like, oh, fuck it. So I'll give him 3.
I'll give him a 4. Dancing gives him a point. But he did look quite shaky. But like I say, he was a bit of a cult hero in the end. So, yeah, 4. Drinkwater, loan.
0 next.
Yeah, 0. Yeah, absolutely. Can't even know what to say about that. Ollie Watkins, 28 million rides into 33 from Brentford.
Based on last season, you know, you'd give him something quite high. This season, he's not picked up. But then again, you know, different formations, different styles. I'll give him an 8. You know, he's probably, you know, last season. When's the last time we had a proven goal scorer in the league in their first season?
Yeah,
you're not going to name many players, so I'll give him an 8. He's an England international and goal scorer now, so
yeah,
you know that adds on a bit of moolah to his value. So yeah, it's not bad for Ollie. 8, so I'll give him.
I'll give him a 9. I love Ollie Watkins. He's just tenacity, closing down, hunger, trying to get a goal, just everything I want in a striker. Buzzing, we got him.
Another player that Smith signed twice as well.
And hopefully not a third time if he gets another job elsewhere. We keep hold of him. But yeah, I do love Ollie Watkins. So I'll give him a 9. Emi Martinez, 16 rides into 20 from Arsenal.
10.
Yeah, that's what we need to say. 10, absolutely. World-class goalkeeper at an absolute cut price. So yeah, thank you very much. Bertrand Traore, 17 rising to 19.
I'm going to give him a 6. He's when he got into his rhythm last season, you know, you think about the goal against West Brom, goal against Chelsea. You know, he's in the right places in the right time, and you know he's creating, he's scoring. He was on a good run. Again, another player done by injury this season, but someone who would be fit, you know. We would have a great amount of choices in the attacking options when everyone's fit. You know, Traore, Trezeguet, El Ghazi, Bailey, Buendia. Mm. That's an incredible amount of players for us at the moment. So, yeah, 6 is I think is fair for him.
Yeah, 6 is the same for me. And literally within the space of 1 minute, he can be the best player in the world to an absolute donkey with his touches. Because he looks so good and so bad within the space of 10 seconds. It's ridiculous. But my God, he is exciting to watch. Ross Barkley, loan from Chelsea.
I think people put Barkley down quite a lot. But you have to say that he won us some games. You know, I think he's won us the game against Southampton and Leicester. You know, he was also kind of a linchpin when Grealish wasn't there. He was very good when Grealish was there. So, you know, people put down his loan spell. But, you know, yes, he went missing in some games and, you know, and things like that. But, you know, when you look at the Liverpool game, Leicester, Southampton, there's some standout performances. So I'm going to give him a 7.
Yeah, I'll give him a 7. I think up until the January, he was probably our best player along Jack, easily. And then he had his injury come back and he was never the same guy. But if they said it was 30, 40 million for him in that December when he was absolutely on fire, even during when he was injured, we would have paid the money. We would have cried for him to pay the money and sadly just didn't work. In January 2021, which is the only signing, was Morgan Sanson for 14 million.
Well, I don't think you can score him right now.
Yeah,
he's not played many minutes, if any. in the Premier League. He keeps getting injured. Now he's had that squabble with Smith, apparently. So maybe he'll be happy that Smith's out the door. You know, he might get some minutes under his belt now.
Yeah.
It seemed to be a good bit of business because it was, you know, his contract was running down. He got him from a Champions League club in Marseille. They rated him quite highly in the midfield. So if he comes around and wants to play and, you know, and things like that, and you can settle in, I can see him being a good player. But at the moment, I'm not going to I'm not going to be able to give him a score because he's not played that many times at all.
Yeah, he's played 10 times. But I'll give him a 5 just to get him a rating because, like you say, you can't really give him a rating. Buendia, 38 million from City. Norwich City, sorry.
I was going to say. Last game was probably his best overall performance against Southampton. Yes, he's scored and had a few assists this season, but he's not been the Buendia that was with Norwich. But that's, you know, that's what happens when you move to a new club. It's new expectations, new players, new, you know, characteristics, new everything. So, you know, it's like the first season. We've got to let people gel in, bed in, and then hopefully they'll come. It all come good. So, but at the moment, I'm going to give Buendia a 3, nearly a 2, because of the amount of money that we spent on him.
Spot on. 3, just not doing it at the moment. Desperately need somebody to start supporting our strikers, and he's just not doing it. Ashley Young, 3.
Well, it's an nostalgic signing. You know, he should have the fitness from coming from an Inter team that won the league. And say that he won the league and then decided, oh yeah, I'm going to come over and be with Villa and be, you know, the wise head and an experienced player. Yes, he's not playing a lot. And yes, when he's playing out of position. Thank you, Dean, for playing him in centre midfield. But, you know, has he played that many times this season to warrant a score? I think he's only played once in the Premier League off the top of my head. And that was because Target played awful against Watford. So I'm not going to give him a score, really. I'm pretty sure he's doing a lot behind the scenes because when you see some videos and photos at Bodymore, he's always around the youth players. I think he was saying about Kearney being the next big thing. So hopefully, you know, he'll be a really, really good mentor for the young ones. And, you know, he might be a reason for some of them to stay.
I'll give him a 5 again, just coming as just old Ed, as you said, not really much playing time as he's probably not going to expect, but 5 does bits. That's all I can really say. Final 3 players, Leon Bailey, 30 million from Leverkusen.
You know, another player that's been done by injury. You know, you look at his record at Leverkusen and what he's done in the short space amount of time. At Villa, he's done very well. Yes, the last 2 games that he started have been poor. But, you know, it's again another player that's moved across different leagues, different countries. You have to get up to speed with the Premier League, and that's obviously going to be easier when you come on as a substitute in a game that you're either drawing or winning. You have to look at the games that he impacted, you know, what was it, Everton?
Yeah.
You know, Watford, even though we lost, Tottenham. So he's going to be that player that we look out for, and he's definitely going to be a player that gets people off the seat, and, you know, he's going to create some brilliant play and score some fantastic goals. So at the moment, it's going to have to be a 6, but that could easily raise to a 10 by the end of the season.
Yeah, I'll do the same. He's just one for the future. He's still settling in, bedding in. So you can't really expect much of him at the moment. Final 2 players. Danny Ings, 30 million from Southampton.
Again, we don't know if this is injury or, you know, that COVID-related problem that Smith said, but he scored a fantastic goal against Newcastle, an old head, proven goal scorer in the Premier League. It's a lot of money for someone who was in their last year of at Southampton. We just got to keep him fit. Hopefully it's not a reoccurring injury, and we need to get him to work first of all as well. You know, if that's with him by himself or with a 2, you know, with wingers either side of him, we need to find a system that works for him, because, you know, we've paid so much this season for a proven goal scorer that's only scored, what is it, one or two goals this season?
Yeah.
It could be better. Yes, we've played against tougher positions so far when he's played. But yeah, another one that could come good by the end of the season if he stays fit. So I'm going to give him a 5, middle of the road.
I'll give him a 7. I think we won't go down just based on his goals. I think he'll be vital this season, no matter who the manager is. And last but not least, Tuan Zabi, a loan from United.
It was always an area that we needed to improve on. You know, with Engels going, we were going to be left short. It was, you know, it is the third time he's come to Villa on loan. It's like his second home, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a decent signing. Someone who was always going to compete for the shirt. He's played a few times. You know, he's had some, you know, some mediocre performances, but sometimes it's better than putting someone in that, you know, couldn't beat play there, you know, like square pegs, round holes kind of thing. So, for the squad, it was definitely needed. So I'll give him a 5 again, you know, middle of the road.
Yeah, 5 for me. I'm still waiting to be impressed by him. So, you know, there's still a lot to come from him. You know, we'll see if it works and gets a permanent. So those are all the players that has come in during Smith's reign. I'm not going to sit and go through the ones who've gone, because obviously we'll be here for another hour or so. But obviously it was more important who was coming in rather than going out. Obviously we did a whole thing on the main one, which was Grealish earlier on. I think me and Gary did that. But before we go, just a couple of things we need to obviously talk about before we go. And for you, what's next for Smith? You know, just a quick 30-second thing. Do you think he'll go? Because obviously Daniel Farke's gone. Could you see him going to Norwich, or do you think he's going to be on the golf course more?
Hopefully it's the golf course round Aston, you know, you never know. I know a few people have said that, you know, Norwich should come calling for him, which, you know, wouldn't be really a bad option for them right now. Because, no. Again, they'll be in the same boat. Who is best to replace? And, you know, it's not going to be a long list of people. Yeah, I could possibly see him going to the Norwich job. But then again, he's had 3 years working non-stop kind of thing. So maybe he takes a break out like Eddie Howe and then comes back in the summer. Who knows? But as long as he's, you know, treated right, and it's either what's best for him. Because like we said before, we wish him well in the future.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see him get back in, but I think going from your dream job to nothing may be a bit too soon to get something else. It'd be quite interesting if he does get the Norwich job, because I think they could do far worse. I think Eddie Howe's a poorer manager, in my opinion, than Smith. So, you know, maybe should have held out for that. Maybe should have got rid earlier and got that Saudi money. Who knows? But obviously, it'd be quite interesting to see if somebody like Graham Potter comes to us, whether he jumps in like a plug and play, you know, straight into Potter's shoes and takes over Brighton. You know, it'd be quite interesting to see. Which obviously brings me on to the shortlist at the moment, which is this is by Sky Bet as of just before recording, and Gerrard's favourite.
Well, I've got the latest one for you.
Oh, okay, then. If you want to quickly skim the names.
So this is by Sky Bet. Other betting brands are available. Steven Gerrard is currently at 5-2 as the favourite. Then, you know, joint favourites, which somehow one of the candidates has come from 12-1, 16-1 actually, to 4-1, is Ralf Hasenhüttl alongside John Terry at 4-1. The reason I wouldn't want John Terry is because it's going to look a bit bad on him for leaving his post as you know, in quotation, assistant manager, you know, coach, to then come back and be Dean Smith's predecessor. I wouldn't really want that. I don't want Hasenhüttl because of the job he's done at Southampton. If we look at other people, Graham Potter's at 7-1. That's come down. Frank Lampard at 8-1. That's gone up. Kasper Hulmand, who's the Danish coach that Lange has got previous experience with. And then you've got Santo. Pablo Fonseca is at 10-1. You know, even Steve Bruce is here at 20-1. Roberto Martinez might not be a bad shout, but I don't think he'll leave the Belgium job if he's still there. And then you've got people like Henri, who's no thanks. And you've also got Zidane at 33-1, who's better than Neil Warnock right now.
To be fair, there's not mega names on that list. I want, obviously, someone like Zidane would be fine, but I think he's probably a bit too toxic for us. I think he's big personality, maybe too big for someone like us. Potter I'd be very interested in, but I would like Ashworth more. I think he gets overlooked too much at Brighton because he did a fantastic job at Albion as director of football. Personally, I wanted him before Lang, and then he went to Brighton, obviously, and look at the players he's brought in there. He's doing a phenomenal job with Potter, so I'd love to bring them two in. Without Ashworth, I'm not really that fussed about Potter. Gerrard seems to be doing very well in a one team league at the moment with Celtic in transition, as you said before. Not many big names I'm shouting out to think, yes, please, you know, jumping off the page. But, you know, whoever it is, I will back. But, yeah, if anybody sticks out for you, obviously, you know, anybody, you know, you'd be like, yes, that's the one for me. Because for me, I'm not really seeing anybody on that list.
Well, like I said the other day, the only English manager that I could see coming for us was Frank Lampard. But, you know, Gerrard is the favourite and he keeps going up and down. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation there. When we were talking about international managers, I said Andrei Shevchenko. It seems like he's going to go to Genoa. So it'd be interesting to see how he does over there. The biggest name that I'd probably want in that lineup, like I just said, Roberto Martinez. Done a fantastic job with Belgium. He's got previous experience with the Premier League with Wigan and Everton. But at 20-1, you know, that seems very unlikely when you've got ones at, you know, 5-2, 4-1, and things like that. Like you said, Potter's done well, but is he going to leave, you know, a Premier League team that are above us in the table to possibly prefer the project that we've got? Who knows? Like you said, it doesn't matter which kind of manager it is, we're going to back them. Unless it's, you know, a former Blues manager or, you know, Bruce or someone like that, because they ain't going to get well respected. We talk about, you know, Smith possibly going to Norwich. If you think about Norwich to Villa, Daniel Fark, he's 16-1. So very much like an outsider, like 10th place or something like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's not a manager that's, like you said, screaming out at me to say, oh, I'd love that manager in that list. But, you know, like we said before, you know, who is they actually going to be to bring in? Because we aren't going to be able to bring in the big guns. I just kind of, the second and third place favourites by Skybet, you know, John Terry and Ralf Hasenhüttl are two managers that I actually wouldn't want as Villa boss.
Yeah, no, same. I wouldn't mind Terry coming back in some capacity. If he was, argument's sake, going to come in as number one, I would like a very, very top assistant, you know, to teach him the way.
Well, I'll tell you what, my dad said earlier, bring in Lampard as your first team coach or your head coach. You bring in Jody Morris as your assistant and you bring in John Terry as a coach.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
There's basically three former Chelsea, you know, players and members of staff.
Yeah, then we'll have attacking coach Drogba, Robin for the midfielders. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. I mean, I'd rather them have them as players. Maybe not so much Jody Morris, but no, like, I don't know, like, because Lampard did okay. Look, he didn't do bad, but it was okay.
You have to think though, Chelsea's expectations are, you know, probably
huge. Times. Yeah, but then you know. I thought he did well. Look, hey, we did well. He did well at Derby because I've been a mess ever since he's left, in all fairness. And obviously, you know, under Kuko and Rooney just not working. So, yeah, I suppose like there is worse out there. But I don't know. We are basically in a relegation battle. I don't want the typical Big Sams, Bruce's, Pulis. I don't want them. I'd rather go die trying than have one of those in. Genuinely, yeah. But yeah, just it's a big appointment because by, you know, the players' reaction on Twitter saying how gutted they are and stuff like that, and then Target nearly crying on Sky, kind of shows you what Smith felt. So this appointment can literally go. I think it will either boost us into a top 10, top 11 finish, or we're going to go down. I genuinely don't think they'll be a middle of the road with this appointment. I think it'll either kick us up the arse and we're going to absolutely fly, or we're just going to fumble and fall down and be like, yeah, we should never have got rid of Smith. Do you know what I mean?
Because, you know, I'm just going into Frank Lampard quite a bit now. But, like, he only lost 25 games in charge at Chelsea and with 84 played. You know, that's also playing in the Champions League for, you know, as well. With the players that he brought in, you know, Ben Chilwell, Thiago Silva, Hakim Ziyech, Mendy, and you've got Kai Havertz and Timo Werner. So all players that are in the first team for Chelsea right now under Tuchel, but probably under someone who's a better manager.
Yeah.
As we said before, yeah, better manager can take us forward. Is Lampard a better manager than Dean Smith?
I don't think he's a better manager. I don't. I think he can attract better players. And I think maybe he would. He's better than some of the names on that list. If you bring in the right people, like you say, if he can bring Terry back, who knows the club, things like that, I'm all for that. But because we got rid of Smith, I want to go big and bold and ambitious. I want us to go, you know, to go, Jesus Christ, that's X has gone to Villa. That's what I want. I suppose every club wants that. Obviously, I'm not stupid. We're not going to go and get Diego Simeone. We're not going to go and get Zidane. We're not going to, you know, I understand that. But I still think there's people like Lucien Favre win on that list. I think there's Gaultier from, I think he's at Lille now. And look at the status Saint-Étienne now since he's gone. He's absolutely smashing it. Who's fallen apart since he's left. Gaultier, Favre, not on them lists. And I think they're better managers than any of those names on that list. But that's just me personally. But yeah, I just, it's a shame. And I'm gutted to see him gone. But it is what it is. We move on. He moves on. You know, it's just a sad state. And yeah, but on your Lampard thing, there is worse, but there is better. You know, so I'm not going to, if it got appointed tonight, you know, Lampard in charge of Villa, I'm not going to sit and scream at the telly, go and get in. But I'm not going to be throwing anything at the telly either. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I'm just kind of like, meh, okay.
You know who's not on that list?
Oh, who?
Me.
Well, there's a good reason, Callum.
Hey, I'd take us to the Champions League by next season.
I'm sure. You've just put down that controller.
I'd be Champions League final by next season. You heard it here first.
And on that bombshell, you know, yeah, I think Callum's just decided to start drinking in the middle of this 70-minute podcast. So so we will go. Thank you guys for listening. We were going to do some midweek games, as I said, but obviously we didn't expect this to happen. We are going to drop this out straight away. Well, it's Sunday now, so I'll drop it Monday morning. And then we will do another one. Well, I would say I'd do a game, but it's just by Shakespeare going so quickly and then rumours of the whole backroom staff going makes you think something's imminent or, you know.
Did we mention Shakespeare's gone?
Yes. No, we didn't. We didn't mention it, but I'll mention it now. Shakespeare's gone. But like I say, it just kind of sounds like the whole backroom staff's gone. So something's imminent. So we will be doing the midweek games if... you know, we'll get one done and it'll either be just after or before the guy gets announced, whoever it is. But we will do some games. But probably the next podcast you hear will be a talk on the new manager and hopefully it's somebody that all Villa fans can agree on pretty much as we... vast majority agreed on Smith. So hopefully it's the same again and hopefully it's a good appointment. And as you said, takes us into fourth, fifth and hopefully sixth gear.
I can take us into seventh gear, mate.
Oh, have a word. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back again. Sorry for going on for so long, but yeah, there was quite a lot of to go over really. And, you know, took the footballing world by surprise going so quick. So thank you guys for listening and see you again. Up the Villa.
Keep the faith.
Keeping that in, Ingwe. You've got to keep that. Do you know what? We're lost, Ingwe. You can't even say it no more. You're not allowed. Do you know what? Since you said that, we're lost. We lost once and Smith got the sack. And I'm genuinely going to blame it on that little shit catchphrase.
Keep the faith.
No, it's fine. You keep that. All right, we're going now. We're going. Thank you, guys. See you again. Not going to say it.
No.
Okay.